Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Today we'll begin first chapter. So before that we will see the chapter titles for all the 18 chapters. So knowing chapter titles helps us to understand where things are told. So if we know the titles, it helps because the titles are given according to the contents of the chapter. So you all don't open Bhagavad Gita. So we'll see how many of you all know different chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Who knows all the chapter titles? You know? Okay, fine. Wait, we'll tell.
Observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, chapter 1. Contents of Gita and
Hold it, make it, tilt it soon, no? It will become the bad. Put it in sunlight. Good. Then?
Knowledge of
the
absolute.
No. Let him tell. Yes.
Chapter 4. Karma Yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. Chapter 5. Dhyana Yoga. Chapter 6. Knowledge of the absolute.
Where are others? Ashtabhuj Prabhu and...
He is in kitchen.
Tell him, go. Tell him.
Knowledge
of the absolute, chapter 7. Attaining the supreme. Chapter 8. Chapter 9.
Sick. No, no, tell who knows chapter 9? The most confidential one.
Chapter 10.
Yeah, easy.
The opulence of the absolute. Chapter 10. Universal form.
11.
11. Devotional service. Chapter 12.
Nice, sir.
Three modes of material.
No. Who will tell? Tell.
No, the knowledge. The knowledge.
Yes. Tell.
Knowledge
and knowledge. No.
Chapter 13.
Nature.
Nature,
the joy,
and the control.
Consciousness.
Chapter
14. Tell what he wants to tell.
The three modes of material nature.
Good. Get that. Ah, you are seeing. Yeah. Conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. So these Sanskrit names are also there. Who will tell Sanskrit names? Okay, first. You all can write down. Sainya Darshan. Sainya Darshan.
Sanskrit.
Yes.
Sainya means soldiers. Sainya means soldiers. Then chapter 2. Sankhya Yoga. Chapter 3. What is chapter 3?
Karma Yoga.
Correct. Chapter 4.
So what is chapter 2?
Sankhya Yoga.
Sankhya.
Ask others. See others. See his book. Chapter 4. Jnana Vibhaga Yoga. Jnana Vibhaga Yoga. Of course, if we translate, it will become Divya Jnana. But these are given by Acharyas. Jnana Vibhaga Yoga. Chapter 5, Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Chapter 6, who will tell? Meditation. Dhyana Yoga. Chapter 7, Vijnana Yoga. Vijnana Yoga. Chapter 8, Taraka Brahma Yoga. Taraka Brahma Yoga. So chapter 9, who will tell? Yeah, Raja Guhya Yoga. Raja Guhya Yoga. So chapter 10 also is easy to tell. Vibhuti Yoga. Chapter 11. Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. 11 is Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. 12 is easy, no? Devotional service. Bhakti Yoga. Chapter 13, Prakriti Purusha Vibhaga Yoga. Then chapter 14, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Sixteenth is Daivasura Sampad Yoga. 15th Purushottam, already told. Nature must be.
Purushottam.
Because divine and demonic natures is there.
Purushottam.
16th is Daivasura Sampad Yoga.
Sampad,
S-A-M-P-A-D.
Sampad.
S-A-M-P-A-D. And 17, Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga, Divisions of Faith. Traya Vibhaga Yoga. Chapter 18, Moksha Yoga. So, Prapati, Surrender. So, these are the chapter titles. So, if we know the titles, it will help, as I said, because they are named according to the contents. For example, second chapter. So in the last verse of the second chapter, Srila Prabhupada, he puts in the last paragraph that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his summarization of second chapter, he has told second chapter is summarization of whole Bhagavad Gita. So we know three subjects of Bhagavad Gita. What are they? Three sections we had discussed. Not subjects, three subjects. Three sections we had discussed, no? Different three yogas. First six chapters, yeah. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga. So all these three things have been discussed in second chapter. So Bhakti, little tinge is given at, no? In one verse. So where Matpara comes, no? Somewhere it comes. And then Karma Yoga is there first, Jnana Yoga is there 11 to 19, and then after that Karma Yoga. So a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga is told in which verses. So this would be explained. Devanpur would be taking second chapter. So okay, in one of the verses Bhakti is told, so we'll not see it now. So we'll read second chapter, last verse you all can see. So why Prabhupada has given contents of the Gita summarized? It is based on Bhakti Vinod Thakur's analysis. So we'll read 2.7 to last verse. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has summarized this second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the contents for the whole text. So the whole Bhagavad Gita, he has told it has contents. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So three subject matters if you categorize according to the yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga has also been given as the contents for the complete text. So like this. So if we know the chapter titles, it will be easy for us to remember. So what is there? Where? So now we'll start first chapter. So first chapter, it seems that not much is there. But there are lot many things to be discussed. So of course I will be going through brief only. So there can be still many things to be discussed. But that will also be more, whatever I will be discussing. So first we will make sections according to the different themes. So making sections also helps us to understand. So what are they told where? So we can identify the sections, then it helps us to understand Bhagavad Gita very properly, very nicely, in detail. So these are the sections made. So first to 11th chapter, 11th verse, if you all see, so most of the verses except first two are told by Duryodhana. So the chapter, the section entitled is Dhritarashtra's Inquiry and Measure of the Comparative Strength of Both Armies by Duryodhana. So we know, once Dhritarashtra asked about the scene on the battlefield, what happened, Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So in the next verse, Sanjaya told to Dhritarashtra that your son Duryodhana, Raja Vachanam Abravit, he approached Dronacharya and he told the following statements. So he tells in the next verse, Pashyetam Panduputranam. So this, your military has been, the military of Pandavas has been arranged by your disciple Drupada. And then he goes on to explain the different warriors on the side of Arjuna, or the Pandava warriors. So then again in the 7th verse, he tells that now I'll tell you about my armies. Then 8th verse, he tells 8th and 9th verse. And 10th verse, he tells that our strength is immeasurable because Bhishma is there. And their strength is, so it is limited. Bhima is taken. And in the 11th verse, so finally to encourage all the other fighters in his side, so he just tells, so all should support Bhishma because he is old. So like that, first to 11, these verses, so these tell that how Duryodhana is making a comparative analysis of the two armies. And then the second section, so after that, we know in 12th verse, the conch shells are blown. So 12th, 13th and... So this second section is description of sound of conch shells and different musical instruments indicating the beginning of war. We know first Bhishma Dev blew his conch shell, then Pandavas blew. So Krishna and Pandavas. So and different musical instruments were played. And that sound was tumultuous. So like that 12 to 19, this section. And then after that we see that how Arjuna was ready to fight. In the 20th verse it tells that how Pravritte Shastra Sampate Dhanur Udyamya Pandava. So Arjuna was ready to fight with his bow. He was positioned. But then Arjuna was, he was a Nitya Siddha Bhakta. He is Nitya Siddha Bhakta, and that time, so he was not into illusion, but Krishna put him into illusion. Because he is ready to fight, but suddenly he changes. He tells suddenly in the next verse. So Arjuna Vacha, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratam Sthapaya Mechuta. So please take my chariot in the midst of two armies. So this goes, by this we can understand, he wanted to see who are there. So Duryodhana also was seeing. So he also made comparative analysis. But for that he didn't go in between two armies. But Arjuna specifically he told that I want to go in between the two armies. And then how Krishna took him right in front of Bhishma and Drona. So who were very dear to Arjuna. So they were, Bhishma Deva had taken care of Arjuna, all the Pandavas, and Dronacharya had taught them military secrets. So he had trained them into military science. So he was affectionate naturally. So and again, so many other relatives had come. So Arjuna, he was put into bodily affection. That is illusion. So that is the next section, verse number 20 to 26. And finally, verse number 27 to 46, Arjuna gives different reasons that why he doesn't want to fight. So the title, the section title is Arjuna's compassion for relatives followed by his arguments not to fight. So we see how by seeing all his relatives assembled, his kins, his relatives, so he, all kinds of relatives had come there. So he got overwhelmed by material affection. And then he gave so many reasons. So many reasons, like first he was material compassion, so he was compassionate for them. Then he told what material happiness also would I get. So if I kill my relatives, with whom shall I enjoy material happiness? This was one of the reasons. And then also he was fearful of sinful reactions. That verse starts with papam eva shreya dasmad hatvaitan adatainah. So he was considering, so that if I kill my relatives, these are special, these are atatais, but these are special because they are relatives, and they are elders, they are teachers. And finally, last reason he gave, destruction of the family. So how the elders would, if they are killed, then no one would be there to teach the religious principles. So elders are responsible for samskaras, and then religion will go. And when religion is there, woman will become contaminated. Then the whole family will go into, it will get ruined. So like that, he gives reason at the last. So this is brief summary. So we'll start with first verse. So always we take some verse, we will together recite it. So now we'll recite it. Dhritarashtra vacha dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveda virsava maga pandava shaiva nima purva sanjaya. So the first word of Dhritarashtra, on that only we can get so many lessons, so important lessons. So the meaning of this word, as you all know, Dhrita means the one who holds. Dhrita. And Rashtra means home or country. Rashtra, state. So one who is holding to his state. So we know, so this is a quality of Kshatriya also. So pious kings, so they also were very much attached to their kingdom, not for their personal comforts, but for the benefit of the citizens. So just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Parikshit Maharaj, he went to conquer the world actually on his horse. So that time Srila Prabhupada tells, it is not for self-aggrandizement. So it's not for the personal fame, so not for personal happiness, but to take care of the citizens. But Dhritarashtra's case was not like that. So he was attached to the kingdom to enjoy material facilities. So because of his affection to his children, especially Duryodhana. So these were the reasons. And if you see, kings have to be Naradeva. They have to represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But Dhritarashtra here, he is against, he is. So of course he knew to certain extent. So we may consider whether he knew also that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the point is, he was informed at least. So it is told when Krishna went, so he showed his universal form as a peace messenger when he went. And Dhritarashtra also has seen universal form. But his understanding of Krishna was not that as that of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna. So we can see even 5000 years ago, kings had fallen from their position. Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj was there. So he was not fallen. So he was there. Parikshit Maharaj ruled. But even that time, there was one such king like Dhritarashtra. So who was attached. So because of his family, attachment to his sons. So we see that how Pandu was originally, actually Dhritarashtra has to become king because he is elder brother. But because he was blind, that throne went to Pandu, his younger brother. But then Pandu, once in the forest, he passed away. Then the sons of Pandu, Yudhishthir Maharaj and others. So if you see, the children of the king become the king, the prince becomes the king. But here they were very young, and so they were not eligible. So temporary Dhritarashtra was made the king. So for temporary being, and he was taking care. But he didn't give them side actually. So king means again they have to treat everyone equally. But they were against Pandavas. We can see that how in so many ways Dhritarashtra, he wanted to kill Pandavas. So it is such a bad thing. So when one becomes attached to position, he forgets everything. So even among relatives, so we have seen in the history also many times. Recently I was telling Aurangzeb. So he killed his two brothers, and then he imprisoned his father Shah Jahan. So like that, Dhritarashtra also was ready to kill the five Pandavas so that they will not come to rule the city, the kingdom. So many instances, for example, once they made a lac city, a house made up of lac in the Indraprastha city. Lac means wax. Candle. But somehow because of Vidura's help, so they could understand that they have plotted to kill us. So they escaped through the tunnel. So that time. So and again they were once given poison cakes. Especially I heard Bhima was given poison. So like that, in different ways they try to kill so Pandavas. So Dhritarashtra was such a king. So he was attached. What we can learn is from this. So he was thinking, I didn't get the opportunity. So at least my sons should be able to rule. So that was his point. So because anyway he was blind, he can't rule the citizen, the kingdom. So I couldn't do, but at least my family. So this is extended sense gratification. So king again has to be, he should not be inclined to his children. He should be inclined towards all the welfare of all the citizens, not only his children. But he was like that. He was ill-motivated. So it's told in the Mahabharata, many times he was advised by many people, like Vyasadeva, Akrura. Personally, Akrura was sent by Krishna to go and see what is the condition of Pandavas. So are they treated properly? So that time Akrura, he just didn't go, but he instructed also Dhritarashtra, don't be blind. But he didn't listen. And Vidura also told, of course because of Vidura, ultimately he left Dhritarashtra. We can see the battle was over, and he was just living like a, like what you call, a dog in the house of Yudhishthira. So that was his condition. So he was so much attached till the last moment. So of course, because of Vidura he left. But still he is typical. So one of one who holds to the kingdom. So this means, so first if we see in political fields, so many of the politicians, they are very attached to their position. Like famous example is Gandhi. Of course it is old example. So even now they are attached. So they will not become retired. They will not take retirement. So Gandhi was especially warned by Srila Prabhupada. If you don't retire and start preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita, you will be shot. So he didn't tell he will be shot. You will suffer terrible death. But that happened. So Prabhupada's prediction came true. So this is like that one way. And even in spiritual circles, so sometimes the acharya or the guru, he may give position for one in the what you call in the spiritual life. So he may become guru or something like that. But with that comes responsibility also. So and one part of that is taking sannyas, taking vanaprastha. So one should not be just attached to different positions in the temple. So one has to take it as a duty. So we can learn so many things from this. So everyone is attached. So every living being is attached to different things. And especially Dhritarashtra was attached to the kingdom. So like this, from this we can learn so many things. Dhritarashtra Uvacha. And second point is, it is he is saying dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. So although he is on the side of irreligion, so but he is using the word. So there is special significance of that. Why is he using that? But before that we will see how it is dharma kshetre. So in kuru kshetra, it is a place meant for sacrifices in Vedic times. So it is told from time immemorial. So people go there to perform sacrifices. Like Srila Prabhupada in one lecture he quoted, Kurukshetre dharmam acharet. So means people go to Kurukshetra to achara, means to practice dharma or to do yajnas like that. And we can see Kurukshetra, it is dharma, dharma kshetre. So mainly because Krishna, the father of religion, is present. So this is the most essential reason. So why it is dharma kshetre? So because the father of religion, Krishna, is present. So now without Krishna, without God, there cannot be religion. So dharma tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So generally, when we talk about moral codes and all, so we take to the laws of state, etc. So some moral codes which are told in the history. But actually Vedas give what is right and wrong. So in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna tells demons don't know. So what is to be done, what is not to be done. So but Shastras give direction into what is right and what is wrong. So generally Vedas are words of Krishna. So in Shastras you will find dharma. So when the Yamadutas, so they were questioned by Vishnu Dutas, so what is dharma? So who defines dharma? So because they were very confused, so that why these Vishnu Dutas have come. So we know that Ajamila is sinful. So we know Yamaraj, so he is father, he is the superintendent of death. So he punishes people according to their pious and bad activities, especially sinful people. And Ajamila is sinful. So why is that four Vishnu Dutas have come to his rescue? So it was very confusing for them because they are very confident. Yamaraj has sent us, so surely he is sinful. And they knew everything, what all he has done till the age of 80. So he had, at the age of 80, he had small child named Narayana. We can imagine. So how much sinful activity. So he was also, we can take one case of who had not taken Vanaprastha, you know, who was also holding, so to sense gratification, because even at the age of 80, so he didn't live. So Ajamila. And then Yamadutas immediately answered. So they didn't say dharma means something, speculation or something. Veda pranayito dharma, adharmas tat viparyaya. And what is Veda? Veda Narayana Sakshat Swayambhu iti Shushruma. So Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. So but then later they told this statement, but when they went to their master, Yamaraja, so they were asking, so we went, but we were sent away, so we were not allowed to take his soul, Ajamila's soul. Then what definition did Yamaraj give? He told, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So dharma means actually, no, bhagavat pranitam means Krishna directly speaks. So that is dharma. So if we see these two definitions, there is difference. So although Vedas talk about religion, so there are many sense gratificatory things also promised in Bhagavad Gita, in Vedas. So karma kanda section. But especially dharma means, what is dharma? Krishna tells, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So and Krishna tells, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. So this is actually dharma. And Krishna comes to establish this. So he is the father of religion. And in just like in the Purport Srila Prabhupada analysis, we'll be reading it. So just like in the paddy field, the farmer, so he will remove all the unwanted things and he'll establish the paddy. So he'll make them grow nicely. So similarly, Krishna, who is the father of religion, so he is compared to a farmer here. So who is on the field, the religious field, Kurukshetra. So he will wipe out all the irreligious people. So Pandavas, Duryodhana and his son, 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, they are sinful, and whoever has given his side. So they will all be wiped, and thoroughly religious people like Arjuna would be established by Krishna. So like this, he is the father of religion. And above that, so Krishna, so he personally also comes to establish dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuddana madharmasya tadatmanam sajamyaham. So because he is father, he comes. And he sets examples. In third chapter, he tells that if I don't follow prescribed duties, then others also will take off. So he establishes, and especially he comes as a king, because king establishes dharma. So Kshatriya kings establish dharma. So in this way, so dharma kshetre, the essential meaning is, because father of dharma, Krishna, father of religion, Krishna is present. So, and another point we can understand. So in the purport, if you see, so unlike the other commentators, so who remove Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, so even when he is told, but in this verse apparently he is not told at all. So in this verse Krishna's name is not there, but still Srila Prabhupada, he establishes Krishna's supremacy right from the beginning. So by this we can understand. So Bhagavad Gita as it is, right from the first verse, so Srila Prabhupada directly, he is representing, he is telling us that how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the speciality of Bhagavad Gita. So another point is, so we know that everyone has come to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So why are they assembled? So Samaveda Yuyutsava, Dhritarashtra himself is telling. So they have assembled to fight, both of them. But still, it is significant. So before that, another point is Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva. So he is separating his son from his from Pandavas. So if we see, both are Kurus. So both are ascending. Sorry, both are children. Both are brothers, and they are coming in the same family lineage. But still, he is separating. So that is the mentality of material people. So I and mine. Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva. So this gives a clear hint that how he is giving sight to his children. So he is separating Pandavas from the family heritage. In fact, Pandavas are rightful heir, but he wanted his children to win. So his mind is told here. And yeah, last point you would like to discuss is Samaveta Yuyutsava. So they have come to fight. So just like if someone will describe, so some guests came and they were fed, they were given nice dishes in a plate. So everything was there. What did they do? So there is no need to ask. So one knows. So at the most, Dhritarashtra could have asked, how did they fight? So, but this goes to show that he was doubtful. So he was doubtful because the holy place would have influenced the Pandavas, who were very dharmic. So first Prabhupada tells, he was fearful, sorry. So doubtful is because he was doubtful that his sons will compromise. At the first hand only, they will think that this is Dharma Kshetra. And anyway, Pandavas will win. So first only we'll compromise. So generally this doesn't happen on the battlefield. But still Dhritarashtra was very afraid. So he was doubtful that his children, they may make a compromise against Pandavas. And next point was, he was fearful. So because holy place means it will give sight to righteous people, so it will influence the Pandavas. So if naturally Dharma Kshetra means Pandavas will become win, they'll win. So these were the two reasons he asked this question, Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So like this, this purport. So this, in the purport we will be reading now. So first part of the purport. So most of them, no, almost everything we have read in introduction. So it basically tells what is Bhagavad Gita, then how to understand it, and then what are the results of understanding it properly. These are the three things. So we'll go to read now. So I'll read the topics discussed by, this is telling its religious significance. So the topics discussed by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya as described in the Mahabharata form the basic principle for this great philosophy. It is understood that this philosophy evolved on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is a sacred place of pilgrimage, from the time immemorial time of Vedic age. It was spoken by the Lord when he was personally present on this planet for the guidance of mankind. So Kurukshetra. The word Dharma Kshetra, a place where religious rituals are performed, is significant because on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present on the side of Arjuna. So here Krishna is addressing, Srila Prabhupada is addressing Krishna directly as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra, the father of the Kurus, was highly doubtful about the possibilities of his son's ultimate victory. In his doubt, he inquired from his secretary, Sanjaya, what did they do? He was confident that both his sons and the sons of his younger brother Pandu were assembled in the field of Kurukshetra for a determined engagement of war. Still, his inquiry is significant. He did not want a compromise between the cousins and brothers, and he wanted to be sure of the fate of his sons on the battlefield. Because the battlefield was arranged to be fought at Kurukshetra, which is mentioned elsewhere in the Vedas as a place of worship, even for the denizens of heaven. So here, so I told the court, Kurukshetra dharmam acharet, means general people of this earth go there to perform religious principles. But here it is told in the Vedas that it is a place even for demigods. So this Priyaganpu gave me the quote, so it is Kurukshetram Devanam Deva Yajanam. So it means, Kurukshetram means in the place of Kurukshetra, Devanam means demigods, Deva Yajanam means they worship Deva. Here Deva means Krishna. So like this even, so this is told in one Shruti, one particular Shruti. So because Prabhupada is telling, no, elsewhere in the Vedas, so we should know where it is from. Deva Yajanam. So Dhritarashtra became very fearful about the influence of the holy place on the outcome of the battle. He knew very well that this would influence Arjuna and the sons of Pandu favorably, because by nature they were all virtuous. So they were dharmic. So they were considering adharma and dharma while doing. So we can see Arjuna especially. So he is so much hesitant, so that he will be overcome by sin. So although Kauravas were completely irreligious and they had completely, they were adatais. They tried to kill Pandavas in so many ways. But still Arjuna didn't think. So in one of the verse he tells in first chapter, we'll be reading, that they are overcome by lust, so to rule the kingdom. But at least we should not do like that. Sanjaya was a student of Vyasa, and therefore by the mercy of Vyasa, Sanjaya was able to envision the battlefield of Kurukshetra even while he was in the room of Dhritarashtra. And so Dhritarashtra asked him about the situation on the battlefield. So this we know, that Sanjaya is asking, Dhritarashtra is asking to Sanjaya. Kim akurvata Sanjaya. Both the Pandavas and the sons of Dhritarashtra belong to the same family. But Dhritarashtra's mind is disclosed here. He deliberately claimed only his sons as Kurus, and he separated the sons of Pandu from the family lineage. So he said, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva. One can thus understand the specific position of Dhritarashtra in his relationship with his nephews, the sons of Pandu. So he was typical material person. So material people are like that only. So even we can see when some land gets, nowadays, when some father, due to some reason he dies or he becomes old, that time only children would be very anxious. So we'll get property and all, because material life means this. So politics, sense enjoyment. So they are concerned about their happiness only. So similarly, Dhritarashtra, he was considering happiness of their sons. As in the battlefield, the unnecessary plans are taken out, so it is expected from the very beginning of these topics that in the religious field of Kurukshetra, where the father of religion, Sri Krishna, was present, the unwanted plans like Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, and others would be wiped out, and the thoroughly religious persons headed by Yudhishthira would be established by the Lord. This is the significance of the words Dharma Kshetra and Kurukshetra, apart from their historical and Vedic importance. So like this, in the first verse we discussed so many things. So we'll conclude here. I have not prepared the next verses. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So you all can take shloka recitations. Any questions?
Tell about Dhritarashtra that he was fearful. That his sons would be, he
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't tell it properly. Actually, he was doubtful. That was his sons makes compromise. So they may go on the battlefield and they may just give it away. So instead of fighting, they may give it up. The second reason was he was fearful of the outcome of the battlefield, the result, the influence of the holy place on righteous Pandavas. So that will favor the Pandavas like that. So he was fearful. So he is using the word Dharma Kshetra. So that is attached to his question. So Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So they have come to fight, but they may compromise. Like that.
Before that Krishna put Arjuna in illusion, Arjuna was thinking about his family that he should not kill him.
Actually, Arjuna was put into illusion, then he became like that. So he was not in bodily concept of life. So we will be discussing that. I briefly told. So he was ready to fight. He was ready to fight. But Krishna put him into illusion. So our section is entitled Arjuna being put in illusion. So he is being put in illusion. So that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken.
What was the Shlokas Bhagavad told regarding Ajamila when they were telling them what such
people? That is in, you can see in 6th canto, you will find. First chapter. And third chapter, that Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, that is in third chapter. 6th canto, third chapter. That section is very nice because lot of things of Vedas are spoken there. Vedas and lot of glories of chanting, offenses of chanting, how we can avoid offenses, many things are described. That is very nice chapter, section.
How Duryodhan got envious to Pandavas?
So he was envious from the childhood. So Priyagantu tells, no? So right when he was born actually, so although in Vedic times they don't kill, so he was advised. Who advised? Vidura advised him to kill. So because he was envious. Right from the childhood he was envious. So he was demon by birth, Duryodhana.
All the sons of Dhritarashtra was envious to Pandava.
Generally all. But basically Duryodhana was more envious. So demons are envious of Krishna and his devotees. So this is the nature of material world, matsarata. So para ut, that is one Sanskrit definition. So someone's material progress we can't tolerate. So that is called enviousness.
Pandavas were also angry.
Sorry?
Pandavas also was angry.
They were not so much if you see. Of course Bhima was very angry, so he wanted to take revenge. But Arjuna, you can see, he exhibits saintly behavior. So he was not willing to fight. So he was so much saintly. But Bhima was surely very angry. He wanted that he kill Duryodhana and by his blood, so he will wash the hairs of Draupadi. So that is in Kshatriya dynasties. So he exhibited his furious mood in this way.
The Bhima was compromising in the beginning of the world for Sandana, before Krishna. He also was compromising.
Bhima.
And actually, this because of Pandu was a king, so that they will get the kingdom, not the kingdom. There was again two situations. Once in one more situation, if Duryodhana could have. They were born before Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was right to become king.
Duryodhana.
He was the elder brother in Kuru, the elder son in Kuru dynasty. Because that also was not happened. Because of that, this Gandhari beat her own. So again, it's interesting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We need to know Mahabharata nicely for this, then we can clearly understand.